B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. In moments, we're going to be joined by Sam Fortier. We're out in Ashburn. Dan Quinn set to address the media in a little less than an hour. My guess is Dan's going to name Jaden Daniels starting quarterback. There's nothing official. That's just my gut. Fortier actually asked DQ Saturday night in Miami if Jaden would play this coming week, and DQ gave this answer about, hey, man, I got 90 guys to worry about. I'm not going to say one of them isn't going to play, but we'll have some news for you on Monday. Today is Monday, and we're expecting that news. Landini, let me know when you've got slinging Sammy Fortier. All right, I'll shoot him a text. He's probably not answering because he thinks it's a telemarketer. They're calling you.
Did he
now.
Know we're supposed to be calling him?
Yeah,
don't
I told him.
Saying, don't make us beat him up now.
Try him again, or you guys can shoot him a text too. B, one thing that I'm starting to see, and I think I've kind of made clear that I am hesitant to believe a lot of college analytics as decisive factors in an evaluation. I buy analytics. I just think college football, like, there's only 32 NFL teams. Everybody is held to the same rigors as far as what it takes to make an NFL team. College just has such variety that I'm hesitant to look at it. Joining us now on the BetQL guest line is our buddy Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. Sammy, what up, dude?
Hey, guys. My bad. I'm glad to be on with you.
All good. Now, there's some real football stuff to discuss, but I did want to start with perhaps the most eventful, most dangerous move of the weekend down in South Florida. Brian, what do you think the most eventful, most dangerous play of the weekend was?
I don't have a clue.
Not when Jaden Daniels ran.
No, I'm not even thinking about that one.
Okay, well then, 48, let Brian know what you did this weekend, because it was by far the most dangerous thing anyone I knew in South Florida did this weekend.
B. Mitch, I used to cover the Nationals, right? And when I used to cover spring training, it was up near Jupiter, Florida, where they have this expedition that you can pay to go swimming with sharks. And it is not in a cage. It is like you are out in the open water. You got to, like, hold on to this rope. But basically, you hold on to the rope, and this, like, you know, this diver who's basically like a circus clown, like, they throw chum in the water. They get a bunch of sharks over there, and then you are just, like, watching sharks swim around and almost hit you. And so I just decided, like, Saturday morning before the game, I was going to drive up and go swim with some sharks.
What makes you think that that is fun? I mean, that's a smart thing to do.
It's a great question. I've been scared of sharks since I was, like, a little kid. My parents live on an island in Maine. That's, you know, where I grew up, and there was a shark attack out in front of their house, like, 2 years ago. And I don't know why. I just, like, was like, I'm very scared of this. I want to do it. And so that's why I did it.
Now, I have swam with sharks.
Very smart, man.
I've swam with sharks, but I was in a cage. Like, being out there just open water, and I understand you're holding a rope.
Is it really swimming with the sharks when you're in the cage?
Not compared to what he did. Now, granted, I was
swimming with dolphins, but I am swimming with sharks.
I've swam with dolphins, too. They're not looking to eat you, though.
They can hurt you, though.
Tell them the biggest ones you saw, Sammy.
So we get in the water, and there's a couple of, like, reef and bull sharks. They're probably about, like, they're a little bit bigger than, you know, an average NFL player. And I'm like, all right, like, you know, I was definitely scared. Like, these sharks are for real. And they were around for probably 20 minutes, and then they left. There were probably, like, four or five of them. They left. And there was, like, nothing in the water for, like, 15 minutes. And we're just standing there with snorkels. And I'm like, all right. Like, you know, some people got out of the water because they were like, it's, like, kind of over. And then I saw, like, just, like, I turned my head, and I swear to God, it was like a scene from Jaws. There were three huge lemon sharks that, like, came out of nowhere. Wow. And
oh, they were auctioning you off, dog.
the diver stuck her head out of the water, and she, like, said to the captain of the boat, she was like, hey, just so you know, there's three lemons. And that made me even more scared, because I was like, if this professional is, like, has to let somebody know, then I'm in trouble.
Yeah, it was like, hey, he's over there. He doesn't know.
All right. So we're about to talk football here, but I have to ask B, because BJL in the chat said it. Our buddy Greg just texted and said it. Sam told me a story Saturday night of a friend of his saying this. Does swimming with sharks qualify as white people bleep?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't. We know. Look, if the sharks know dolphins are around, they don't come. So that's why you swim with the dolphins. When I went over to, I was in Bermuda. I've never seen so many brothers and sisters in water in my life. And we were all swimming with dolphins.
There you
all
heard,
hey, y'all want to go swim with the shark? No, nah. We're going to do this over here.
All right. We're talking with our boy Sam Fortier, who just swam with a bunch of sharks in Florida. Sammy, what did you think of the effort both offensively and defensively? What did we learn in Miami besides the fact that you swim with sharks?
Yeah, I mean, the most notable one, which you guys have probably covered, is Jaden Daniels. I mean, still looked good, still made fast decisions. Not exactly sliding yet, but I think that he has great command of the offense, and you got to be encouraged by his development. Defensively, I think they were, you know, they looked okay. I was impressed. I thought it was Jamin Davis's best game off the edge. Obviously, you know, he had that pressure, and I think that, like, I still am concerned about the outside corner positions, and I think they have you know, ways to go as a unit, but I think you have to feel okay about where the unit is at. Although I have said that in years past, and it hasn't worked out so well. So I'm always cautious about what I'm taking away from preseason games.
I agree with you there. I think going forward, and you asked Dan, I almost said Ron, you asked Dan about it Saturday night, if Jaden will play this weekend. I don't think he's going to play, but I do think Dan's about to name him QB1. What does your gut tell you? What are you expecting when we hear from DQ in, you know, 45 minutes or so?
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, he's shown everything you want him to show. What's left to prove? And I think at this point, the only thing that can happen is for him to get injured, right? Because he's already shown, you know, he's the guy. He can do this thing. And so I would be in the same boat as you. I think we're about to get him named QB1, and we'll see you in Tampa.
He played three series, but he didn't even play three series with his starting offensive line. You don't think he needs to get more familiarity with them?
I can hear that argument for sure, but I mean, I don't know that the line will be better this week, right? Because we're not sure if Brandon Coleman's going to go. If he were going to go, maybe it's a little different, but I don't think the reward would be worth the risk. Do you?
I think so, because if he goes in and they do basically what they've done the last 2 weeks, you have to call a game plan to where you you're protecting him with the game plan and get it out of his hands. You know, but the ultimate thing is, we in this town act as if we have the only quarterback that's worth something to everybody else. Other people play their star quarterbacks too. Man, they get them out the game. He has to learn how to protect himself. He has to learn how to play better with the people around him. Hell, they got to learn how to play better with him. Obviously, Wally doesn't know how to stay on side for his snap count. So you got to figure out something.
I hear you, and I think that if you look back at the past quarterback, you know, since the NFL went to three preseason games, which I think is like in 2021, most starting quarterbacks have played in week three. Trevor Lawrence did it. A couple other guys did it last year. So I think there is a strong argument for starting him. Just maybe this is just me being too cautious, but like I don't think that they're going to go to the playoffs. I think it's going to be a long shot for the playoffs this year anyway. So, like, what's the risk and reward versus letting him just figure it out in the regular season? I don't think that there is a big problem with that. And so if the games don't count, don't push it. Because last week he showed you can call the game plan like you do, but you're not going to make him fly any more than he feels like he needs to.
I think the argument of should or shouldn't has just emerged, has just, like, change evolved, whatever you want to say. We could say they should or shouldn't, and then Andy Reid goes out and proves how he runs an operation, but the rest of the NFL just plays it so cautious. It seems like Tua for Miami is going to play one series all preseason, and we saw it the other night. You know what I mean? Like, I just think one thing that I think we don't know enough about, and I'm curious where you land on this, 48, because I know you love the numbers. Through through three series, through 15 pass attempts, Jaden Daniels hasn't gone downfield much. The only real downfield throw was when he audibled into the pass to Diami down the sideline. I very much believe Cliff, the play calling has been conservative, and they don't want to risk much. They don't want to show much. Do you think that there are broader conclusions to be drawn from kind of the lack of depth per target, if you will?
I don't think that is indicative of what the offense will be. And by that, I mean, I agree with you. Cliff Kings, like, they will stretch the field this year. And I think you see that in the joint. I mean, obviously you couldn't see it in the Jets joint practice because it was downpouring. But, I mean, when we talked to Kendall Fuller after the Dolphins joint practice, he said the things that were different about the offense from when he faced it in practice for the last 4 years or whatever it was the fact that they went up tempo and they stretched the field. And if you look at, you know, Cliff's previous stops, if you look at what Jaden was good at in college, like, yeah, I think they're definitely going to stretch the field. The fact that the only deep pass Jaden has thrown is the one that he audibled to in that first preseason game, I think shows you, like, he's going to have that ability. So I wouldn't read too much into what they're doing in the preseason games at all. I think there's going to be a vertical offense that likes to go up-tempo because that's Cliff's identity.
Well, dude, it's also Jaden's identity, and that's – to me, what stands out is Jaden is going to push it vertically. And as September becomes October, becomes November, like, he's going to start. We're kind of seeing him assert himself already in two preseason games. You think that's going to slow down in November?
The more he gets, the more he's going to want.
And I think he's a vertical passer.
Right. The kid has confidence and swagger and I think those are things you want in a quarterback. You want him to take shots and create explosive plays with his legs. And I mean, there were times his offensive coordinator at Arizona State his first year, Rob Likens, said that sometimes, like, he would call four verts so that, you know, Jaden would have room to run underneath because, like, he stretches the field vertically and that helps him as a runner. Like, it all feeds on everything. And so I think that, like, if you want the best version of Jaden Daniels as a quarterback, not only maximize what he can do with his arm by going downfield, but also give him room to run if those things are covered.
Yeah, clear it out underneath. I like that.
It's going to happen.
Sam, we are a little more than a week out from roster cuts. I think it's next Tuesday. They got to submit their roster to the league with 53 players on it. Who is a player you would stand on the table and say, you got to keep this guy, and here's why?
That's a good question.
Patterson.
Good, because it's going to be a radio segment all week, but I'm glad you like it.
I think that the end of the safety room is really interesting.
Did you say, hold on, I'm sorry.
I was just messing
Sammy, I'm going to give you a moment to collect your thoughts. Did you say Patterson, Ryan?
Yeah, I was messing with
you. Standing on the table for Riley Patterson?
Yeah, I'm standing on the table to tell him why he got to get rid of him.
No, I said the end of the safety room.
Right, right, we understand. Brock and Riley Patterson. He's messing with you.
Okay. You know, like, the service on the toll road is you know, sometimes it gets a little
soft. Spotty at best. Right. All right, so the end of the safety room.
The end of the safety room and the number of corners they keep, like, is that total? Is it 12? Is it 11? Is it 13? I would say, like, Tyler Owens. I know he's, like, a popular name because he flashes on special teams. But I would say, like, he is a guy that I really like, and I think you've got to find a way to keep him. I am wary of overvaluing players that we see in camp because, what, guys, has it been like 2 or 3 years since we've seen somebody that the Commanders have cut get claimed on waivers, right?
Yep.
I'm always worried about overvaluing them.
We get to really just see him in practice, so he's done practice and games.
Right, that's true. So he's a guy that I would say – I would stand on the table and say I would really like to keep this guy.
I agree with you, man. I think he has kind of forced his way into that conversation.
Yeah.
And I don't know that anybody has forced it in the same manner. But I am. If you're going 12 corners, if you're going 12 DBs, how many D linemen are you going with, Sammy?
Right. I mean, that's the math, right? Is it 9? Is it 10? Like, same thing with the O-line. And, you know, I think that these guys aren't going to leave themselves shorthanded in the trenches, particularly after the training camp they've had with how many injuries they've had. So, I mean, it's tough roster math for sure. And then it's, you know, it's every position, right? But, like, three or four running backs and five or six receivers. I think these are all really tough choices that will come down to special teams. And that's why I feel confident in Owens, because he has, like, done it in a way that you want. And he's a guy that you know is going to provide value on multiple, you know, multiple areas. Jeremy Reeves, he missed a tackle the other night, but he provides so much, I think, experience and leadership. And yeah. So, like, is it important for you to have that? I think, like, those are really tough calls. If you're at the beginning of a rebuild, I could totally see the argument for, hey, you know, Revo's coming off an injury. He hasn't, you know, really popped in the preseason. So let's move on from that guy in favor of a young guy. But at the same time, I think that, like, what Jeremy adds to that room can't always be quantified. So I think that's a really hard argument, you know?
Yeah, and dude, Reeves did miss a couple tackles, but he also made a couple big ones. And he has that downhill, violent attack that this staff really seems to want and care about.
Totally.
I the one that I find curious is Hampton, the kid, the rookie out of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, he would be on the outside looking in, but how much do they care about their draft picks making their rosters?
Yeah, if I draft a guy in the seventh round,
I think he's six.
Seventh round, and I got an undrafted guy
that
plays better, that's just...
I'm with you. I don't think there'd be a spot for Owens and for Hampton, and I think Owens seems clear. Are you a little surprised, 40? I'll let you go after this one. The way the running back room appears to be shaken out, with C-Rod certainly looking to be on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I think that there are just guys that you know, fit that skill set better, like the the pass catchers, right? Like, I think that if you look at this offense, you have Brian Robinson, who can be more downhill. I know he has some pass catching value. You have Eckler, but I think that with this offense, I think that you probably feel that you can add C-Rod's skill set a little bit easier than you can with some of these other guys, Wiley and you know, the other guys. So, I mean, that's where I'm at with that position. But what about you?
I think Wiley is probably the third there. At least if I was a I don't know what they think, but of the guys we've seen, I think Eckler and Robinson are so clearly kind of distance themselves, and I think Wiley's looked the best of the rest of this group. There'll also be a lot of backs next week that could maybe enter the conversation.
I think McNichols is also you know, in that conversation for the third running back spot. I know that, you know, he was.
I agree. They've gone to him. They've gone to him before Wiley. I think both games, at least in the Jet game, and that stands out. I've been more impressed with Wiley, I'd say.
Yeah, I can hear that for sure. And, you know, McNichols hasn't played an NFL game since 21, and, like, he's 28 years old, and kind of like, you know, what is his vision, or what does he fit the timeline of this roster? I don't know. And so you think Wiley, but at the same time, it's hard to ignore that he's getting the snaps before Wiley in the preseason games. That's got to mean something, you know?
Right. All right, buddy.
When Wiley gets it, he's impactful.
For sure. We got to let you run. Good luck on the toll road. Watch out for the speed traps. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Swimming with sharks, huh?
Yep. I thought you'd like that. That is Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. Give him a follow at Sam4TR. Jeff, would you go swimming with sharks?
Turn me up? All right. Only if I was in, like, one of them big cages.
Cage was different. Now, granted, the cages was with great whites, which are like the size of a school bus, but still a cage. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley. I believe Nat center fielder Jacob Young comes out to this song, and I think that's kind of cool. I think it might be like the Jay-Z remix, but I still think it's cool. All right, B., let's check in around the NFL.
Let's go.
Did you get to watch anything last night?
My eyelid.
All right, fine. I watched Saints-Niners, and the Saints came out with serious, our head coach just smashed a watermelon energy. Like, the Saints were on fire. And I kind of can understand it, because you're going out to San Fran, and I think, remember we had Derek Carr the other day, we read the quotes where he said, They feel that they're 10 times better than they were last year. And the Saints seem really ready to, like, hit the ground. Right. Do you think playing the, yo, let's go, let's really get serious about this card on August 18th is prudent? Or is it a little premature?
It's prudent for them because they're playing, the 49ers were the team that played in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
So you, anytime you play against them, whether it's preseason or whatever, you want to basically go out there and compare yourself to, judge yourself against them. And you have to play like that. I'm sure the coach was like, yeah, they were in the Super Bowl last year. Let's see what we are.
All right. Now we go to the Midwest. Patrick Mahomes was 11 of 18 last week, including that behind-the-back pass to Kelsey. Andy Reid came out and said starters won't play Thursday's preseason finale against the Bears.
Okay.
Any reaction?
I mean, it's Pat Mahomes.
He said all the starters.
If we're going to say any, but it's, if you got Pat and his crew and the coach believe they're ready, they've won the last two Super Bowls. You can say, okay, yeah. Other teams don't have that same clout.
I agree. I still am more surprised that Andy has them all play in the first two than giving them the third one off.
He probably tell them, depending on how y'all play, I'm a deal with you all in the last game. And you see they went out there and laid it all on the line.
Right. Gerard Mayo, first-year head coach of the New England Patriots, asked about the starting quarterback. We're probably going to see these guys Sunday night against the Commanders. Asked about his starting quarterback. We still don't know right now. We have another preseason game and then a week after that. When I know, I'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think it is?
Gerard has a little bit of Belichick in him, but you don't have the same success that he has, so you have to chill out a little bit sometimes.
It feels like it's going to be Jacoby, but I would hardly say it's a given. And we're going to have Phil Perry from Boston joining us tomorrow and kind of give us the latest on that. You think it's going to be Jacoby?
Seems that way.
I don't know that this is how Gerard Mayo thinks, but in a self-preservation NFL, if you go with the veteran, people might expect you to win a little bit at least. If you go with the rookie, expectations are pretty damn low.
You go with the veteran, you still got the rookie to always go to. He's now ready. We're going to go to him. We play that card.
Have you heard any of this Brian Flores stuff?
Mm-mm.
I don't know. Tua obviously played for Brian Flores, and Tua has talked about how much he enjoys playing for Mike McDaniel, and they've obviously found some real success. This is Tua talking about playing for Brian Flores. To put it in its simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you didn't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be there, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. You are accurate. You are the best. You are this. You are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then you hear it, you hear it. Regardless of what it is, the good or the bad, and you hear it more and more, you start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are. You could be the president of the United States. If you have a terrible person that's telling you things you don't want to hear or that you probably shouldn't be hearing, you're going to start to believe that about yourself. He's talking about Flores, the way Flores spoke to him as a young...
Yeah, but I think both could be true. He could have sucked. And the owner could have been trying to force Flores to play him. In this situation, Mike comes in, you fit his system. So he praises you because he wants you to get there. Maybe Flores wanted to play somebody else, didn't want Tua there. So, I mean, it could be both of those things could be truthful.
Now I'm reading.
But I do believe people normally will believe what the hell they hear consistently.
I agree with that. I'm reading from Pro Football Talk. During the 21 season, Flores was fixated on trading for Deshaun Watson. It nearly happened before the season started. It contributed, we heard at the time, to Tua's decision to decline a captain designation as week one approached. Now, there were a lot of conversations about Miami potentially trading for Deshaun.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Even leading up to the trade deadline. You know, I think if Brian Flores came up working for Belichick and Belichick was somewhere between Belichick was a permanent hard ass. Can we say that? Yeah. Like, Flores probably just thinks that's the way you handle quarterbacks. And maybe Tua didn't like, I mean, who knows? But this is now McDaniel's third year down there, isn't it? It's kind of water under the bridge now, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great look for Flores, but some football coaches are kind of jerks, man. It happens.
Yep.
Odell Beckham, not practicing this week. He didn't practice when we were there. I did kind of see him to the side running around.
Yeah, with that big, it's called like a bunch
parachute
of car,
type thing. Yeah. The resistance band. What do you think reasonable expectations are for Odell at this point?
Just hope to get him into half of the games. He gets nixed up.
His best season 2 years ago, I guess that's 3 years ago now, when he got traded to the Rams, they made the run to the Super Bowl. He blew out his knee in the Super Bowl, missed all of 22. And last year, how about this as my question? Last year he signed with Baltimore, and there was so much excitement about Odell in Baltimore. He finished the year, he played in 14 games, 35 catches, 565 yards.
Okay.
I think Lamar's the better quarterback, but I think Miami's offense has
Miami
more.
Offense will give him a better opportunity because
right.
He's going to have to be one-on-one.
Tyreek's on the field.
You're going to worry.
And Waddle.
You're trying to worry about Tyreek and Waddle, and you also got to pay attention to their backfield. So he may end up with a damn third or fourth corner or a linebacker trying to check in.
Do you think 35 catches, 565 yards, and three touchdowns, you going over or under that Odell in Miami this year?
If he's healthy
That's what he
year.
Did last year.
He would have to be healthy the whole year, I go over.
But that's part of the equation here.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to go under, man. When we come back, time to make some bets. It's betting season. Jeffrey, I guess we start wherever, right? Whoever's ready to rock, just let's make some bets. If you've never listened to our program, I find it pretty hard to believe you would tune in for the first time ever at 1:49 p.m. But every day we make bets. We keep track of it over the course of the week. Somebody wins, somebody loses. Last week, I won. But today, it's a new week. Anybody got anything?
I'm going with Tottenham over Leicester. Money line.
Leicester, Jeff. Leicester.
Leicester?
That's how they say it, bro. I don't make the rules. I'm just
Terrell?
Telling
you. Wow, that's crazy. I would have never thought that.
Lanville, is that right? I think that's right.
Yes.
How are you going to correct him and didn't think it's right?
I was confirming.
I'm taking the Giants minus 1.5. They're playing the White Sox. The White Sox are terrible. That's my reasoning. White Sox suck.
Don't hate it. I can't stress enough how much money I've made people if they were betting these preseason unders. I hope everybody's been doing it. Now, if it goes sideways in preseason week three, that ain't on me because you've had 2 weeks of getting rich, all right?
Give me the Dodgers.
I'm waiting for it.
Then I want the Royals minus 1.5.
So I'd like to bet on the Diamondbacks tonight. Because it is 1:50 p.m. on Monday, and it's unclear who's starting for the Marlins tonight. Maybe they're doing just like a bullpen game, but the Diamondbacks are too big of favorites that I can't pick them tonight.
Go minus 1.5.
So I got to find – dude, I think even at minus 1.5 – I guess I could do that, but I'm not doing that. That's square action. That ain't me, baby.
You're not betting money anyway.
That's also true. There's nothing else to bet besides baseball, right? You guys found soccer? How the hell did Jeff find soccer to bet on?
FanDuel.
Good old FanDuel. You took the Dodgers, B?
Mm-hmm.
I am going to take just to win, minus 146. That's a terrible betting slate tonight. Tonight, you know what I'll watch, Brian?
What's that?
Below deck. It's a below deck night. I promise you that. All right, folks. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Dan Quinn is going to be talking at 2 o'clock, so we're trying to keep you on schedule to listen to that right here on 106.7 The Fam. We got to run. Thank you to Mr. Mitch Tischler. Thank you to Sam Fortier. Thank you to everybody that called in. Thank you to the boys in the aquarium. B, we're out of here if you made it this far.
JP, all your big case of beer.
You owe me something because I've been giving out preseason unders. Everybody should be rich. Goodbye. Season. Jeffrey, I guess we start wherever, right? Whoever is ready to rock, just let's make some bets. If you've never listened to our program, I find it pretty hard to believe you would tune in for the first time ever at 1:49 p.m. But every day we make bets. We keep track of it over the course of the week. Somebody wins, somebody loses. Last week, I won. But today, it's a new week. Anybody got anything?
I'm going with Tottenham over Leicester. Money line.
Leicester, Jeff. Leicester.
Leicester?
That's how they say it, bro. I don't make the rules. I'm just
for
telling.
For real? Wow, that's crazy. I would have never thought that.
Landville, is that right? I think that's right.
Yes.
How are you going to correct him and then think it's right?
I was confirming.
I'm taking the Giants minus 1.5. They're playing the White Sox. The White Sox are terrible. That's my reasoning. White Sox suck.
Don't hate it. I can't stress enough how much money I've made people if they were betting these preseason unders. I hope everybody's been doing it. Now, if it goes sideways in preseason week 3, that ain't on me because you've had 2 weeks of getting rich, all right?
Give me the Dodgers.
I'm waiting for it.
Then I want the Royals minus 1.5.
So I'd like to bet on the Diamondbacks tonight because it is 1:50 p.m. on Monday, and it's unclear who's starting for the Marlins tonight. Maybe they're doing just like a bullpen game, but the Diamondbacks are too big of favorites that I can't pick them tonight.
Go minus 1.5.
So I got to find... Dude, I think even at minus 1.5, no, I guess I could do that, but I'm not doing that. That's square action. That ain't me, baby.
You're not betting money anyway.
That's also true. I mean, there's nothing else to bet besides baseball, right? You guys found soccer? How the hell did Jeff find soccer to bet on?
FanDuel.
Good old FanDuel. You took the Dodgers, B?
Mm-hmm.
I am going to take just to win, minus 146. That's a terrible betting slate tonight. Tonight, you know what I'll watch, Brian?
What's that?
Below deck. It's a below deck night. I promise you that. All right, folks. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Dan Quinn is going to be talking at 2 o'clock, so we're trying to keep you on schedule to listen to that right here on 106.7 The Fam. We got to run. Thank you to Mr. Mitch Tischler. Thank you to Sam Fortier. Thank you to everybody that called in. Thank you to the boys in the aquarium. B, we're out of here if you made it this far.
JP owe you a big case of beer.
You owe me something because I've been giving out preseason unders. Everybody should be rich. Goodbye.